Is booty twerking, is that the modern pocket watch? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Doyser.
Aaron Doyser. I'm Danae Hughes.
I'm the Deuce man.
It's Jonathan Watkins.
We all hanging out in New Jersey this week for some reason. I don't even know what's going on. No, we're good. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
Still here.
We write for CinemaSins, TV Sins, and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Boy, Jonathan, you've had a vacation, man. You should be all like fresh and tan and ready to go.
I'm not tan. I do not tan. I'm the palest person on the face of the earth, except my neck. My neck always tans very nicely. So
I think Danae wants to have a pale off with you.
I will throw down on that category.
Very fair skinned. It almost sounded like when you said it, you meant like you had moral objections to tanning. It was like,
No. I have the sun does not like me. And, so I lather that, you know, 100 proof sunscreen on.
Yeah.
I went to Disneyland, which I've never been to before, and it was awesome.
Yeah. You got a chance to see the brand new Star Wars world.
I did. The land was very impressive. Like they, you know, everything they built up. I sent you guys some pictures.
Yeah.
And, the ride, I have to say, was mediocre, but that's okay. I mean, I I'm not as big of a Star Wars fan as some people, so I'm sure some people will appreciate it more than I did, but you're essentially like riding on the Millennium Falcon. It's kind of a simulator, I guess.
Isn't it kind of like, what was the ride at Epcot that was the Mars one?
Yeah, Mission Earth?
Yeah, something like that, where, you know, different people have different buttons they can push and that kind
it
of
is,
stuff.
It kind of combines that with like the Star Tours ride. They kind of get combined, and which I only got a chance to ride it once because the lines were very long and they were not offering fast passes yet for it. But I would like to ride it again just so I'm not as concentrated on pressing the buttons, because that bothers me when stuff's lighting up. So like I think I missed some stuff, and you know, maybe next time I could actually pay more attention. But no, I had a good time. Definitely worth it if you're a fan of the Disney thing.
Well, I know you sent me a picture of Radiator Springs, and I was
That was amazing. I actually liked that because I'm not a big Cars fan, but that was just amazing. Just every little detail. And they even have like Lightning McQueen and Mater. They have them come out. I guess they're just automated vehicles of some sort. I mean, it's not somebody in a costume, obviously.
No, they're real, Jonathan.
Yeah, but they're just exactly. That's what I mean. They're real, because all these 5-year-olds listening to our podcast.
That's right.
But they're driving around and talking to you, and it's very cool.
That sounds fun. Have you ever been to Disney, Danae?
The Florida Disney.
So Disney World, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Animal Land.
Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot more to Disney World. Disney World's bigger, and it's like a resort, and, you know, it really creates like this magical environment because you're so enclosed, whereas this is just like in the middle of Anaheim, and there's stuff built around it, so... you don't really have that, but what you do have is you have everything is so close together. So, like, there's two parks and there's downtown, and you can just walk to all those.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're back. We're ready.
I am too.
We're ready to talk some Behind the Sins this week. Of course, we'll do our Sinside Scoop, talk about the videos. We'll play some Keeping Tabs, see what we actually brought up and searched on Google this week that the FBI will be coming after us about. The comment section, where we pick some of your best comments, and then we will go beyond the sins and talk about something else in the world of pop culture. But let's kick it off with the Sinside Scoop.
What's he building in there?
All right, let's do it. Let's take a look at the videos from this week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the show/movie/music video in general, all that kind of fun stuff. We'll kick it off with the TV Sins on Monday. Agents of S-H-I-E-L-D. That's how you have to pronounce the title. You can't actually
say S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, because it's got the periods in there.
That's right.
I even have a note about that because one of the things I wanted to mention was I love the crazy, the weird conversations we have back and forth about these scripts. just kind of giving us an look. And on this one, I think the funniest one was when we were discussing how we were going to spell S.H.I.E.L.D.
If we were going to put the periods in it or not.
And where do you put the periods? Is there one after the D? Yes, and there is.
But if it's a question and it ends in S.H.I.E.L.D., is the one after the D a question mark? Or is it a period and then a question mark?
And how many people are going to be angry if we get it wrong?
All of them. I think the answer is all of them. This show was so promising. Like, I remember watching the first season and just loving how it connected to the MCU, loving having Coulson back in my life. Like, he's such a fun character. I thought, you know, the show was cast very well. And going back and watching the pilot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for me reminded me, like, how much I really enjoyed this show the first season. Now, a lot of people think it's gotten better over time.
I mean, we probably talk about that some in the comments, because that was one thing I didn't realize how many people genuinely liked it.
Yeah, and think it got better over time. And I just feel like it fell apart after, like, season three.
Yeah, well, see, I watched two seasons. How far did you make it?
I just stopped this year. I'm not watching the new season.
Okay, so you saw, like, all the Ghost Rider and...
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did hear from some people it got a little more interesting then, to the point where I've thought about going back and watching it, but I just, you know, it's way down the list.
Well, during the writing process on this, because I watched the pilot, I wrote on this one too, but I hadn't seen any of it. Everyone had been talking about it, but I hadn't really got into it. Mm-hmm. So there's references in our jokes of things not going great in the future.
Yes, one of our running gags is, you know,
I can't wait for this to pan out.
I can't wait for that to happen.
And so I'm asking questions as we're, you know, putting our script together. I'm like, well, what do you mean this doesn't, what do you mean?
Well, and we had a lot of those.
Yeah, there were several.
We
love interest.
We took, like, what, three or four of those out.
Yeah.
Oh,
We cut several of them.
We basically just kept the Ward. Did we keep the Ward one in?
I don't even remember which ones we kept in. No, I think we took the Ward one out, because there's people in the comments who are like, you know, I can't believe you mentioned Ward. Oh, well, I think there actually were two Ward ones. There was one about him becoming evil, like not being a good guy for the whole time. And then there was another.
Shocking.
Then there was another one about becoming really strange or something. I can't remember.
It's been a while since I've watched it. But what I remembered about that first season was I didn't really like it for a while. Like, the pilot was kind of fun. I was irritated they brought Coulson back, which I wrote the sin. The sin is still in there where we talk about that. Like, you love Agent Coulson. I love Agent Coulson. But just because I thought his death was so good or meaningful, I guess.
Right. Yeah,
in Avengers. But so I was irritated about that. I just didn't really think it was going anywhere. But then, like, towards the end of the first season, it kind of picks up. For those that don't know, Bill Paxton joins the show, and he's really good. He's like a really fun villain.
Yep.
And then the second season, actually, I remember started off really strong, and then they started getting into that whole Inhuman thing, and then it lost me again.
Yeah, I was in it. I was loving it through season three.
Okay.
And then I slowly started to be like, oh, it's going to be one of those shows where they just do weirder and weirder, non-connected, sillier things.
Yeah, because you said some stuff about when they bring Ward back. I had no idea that happened.
Oh,
that
yeah.
sounded insane.
He comes back as a alien inhabited body and just like, oh, people like this actor and we killed him off. What are we going to do with him now? Oh.
But did people like him? Like, I
don't know.
I mean, he's very, like, we make that jawline comment, like, and that's very much his character.
I believe originally I called him Agent Buttchin, but that got
mixed. I think you did.
I got a little sensitive about that. People who have cleft chins, if they, it's like one of those things you get teased about. I
meant it as a compliment. Like, I mean, I thought having a butt chin was a compliment thing. I didn't mean, you know.
Yeah.
So
I've always seen it thrown around as an insult. You know, if someone says that you have a butt on your face, I don't usually, people aren't always excited to hear that, but maybe in the Dicer
that's
world.
A fair point. No, that's a fair point. Your face looks like a butt. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
We do think through those things, at least for a moment.
The other thing that I just have to say about the show, it has become so completely centered around the love relationship between Fitz and Simmons.
I didn't know that happened either. That was interesting when you brought that up.
The whole show now is about their love that they every time they're going to be together, something else happens and the universe separates them. And then
I hate that.
And the only reason I hate it is because it's just so forced, right? Yeah. Like it's
not realistic. That doesn't happen in real life. It happens in TV and movies.
What was the show?
Schitt's Creek.
Yes, that's a good example.
They do it right.
They do it right. There's a way to do this where now they're just together and that's great. And you can have the joy of them being together.
And there's normal things in a relationship that are going to cause complications without there being like we can be together, we can't be together feel. It can
the universe
just be
is
like,
keeping us apart.
Oh, your personality also rubs me the wrong way. I love you, but you're making me insane. And then having characters work through that kind of stuff and seeing people on the screen actually have those kinds of conversations. Do we really want to see that done in a really clever and fun way? No.
Well, and this show, they do that. Did you guys ever watch Bones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that was an interesting, they did an interesting thing in that. I thought the first two or three seasons of that show were pretty great and, pretty good at least, I mean, for that kind of show. But they did an interesting thing where they were trying to ignore the the Brennan Bones, or that was, Brennan was her name, the Bones Booth relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it made no sense why those two weren't like bumping uglies from the get-go, but whatever. They started a relationship with two minor characters, which is, that's what this reminded me of when you mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's but that actually worked.
Yeah. It comes down to people saw how well it worked for the X-Files and now everybody wants to do it. You know, it's not like the X-Files invented it either. It's been a staple of dramatic storytelling for a long time,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And it's like they felt they just had to have one because they tried to create one with Chloe Bennett's character. Chloe Bennett's great, by the way. Probably my favorite thing about that pilot. But her character and Ward, which then, of course, he became a bad guy, so that didn't work out. They kind of dallied around the idea that Clark Gregg and I can't remember the actress's name, but May.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a thing. That continues to be a thing all the way through.
Oh, does that continue to be a thing? Because I know that was kind of something they mentioned, they mentioned here and there. They're like they had a past liaison and that kind of thing.
Anything else about the video that we want to chat about? Any other moments that we liked from it? Anything like that?
Nobody Fist a Flute was maybe my favorite line. I also, and I'm assuming that was, I hate to assume, but Danae, did you do the matching bass to Fleshy Skin Tone?
I also did the Fists of Flute.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I did the bass, the matching bass. You know what happens? It happens if guys and girls wear makeup and then they are warm and then you don't put it all over.
I just would have never noticed that.
I wouldn't have either.
Oh, really?
And I actually, used to do I know Aaron's been on TV. I have as well. So, like, I've worn makeup. So I know, I know how that can be, but it's just not something I noticed.
I actually noticed on several characters that they were very mismatched in their makeup. And I thought, okay, I just don't want to go overboard here.
But the Fist of Flute was great because I actually wrote a sin along the line, which we didn't put in along the lines of, it's a good thing bad guys always drink wine because how would we get fingerprints? But then I didn't even think about that. Like, why do we get fingerprints off these damn glasses?
It's not just a fingerprint.
Because nobody holds a wine glass like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote basically the same sin that Danae wrote, just not as cleverly. I didn't have the Fist of Flute part in there, so I used hers instead because I was doing the combine on this one.
Yeah, it's that one right there in particular that is one of those things where my dad is really proud of me for living my dreams and being a creative person and finding my way in the world. And I can never tell him what I do. That's the perfect joke example. He can never know. I'm sorry, Dad.
I've got those jokes, but my parents will know because they listen to every single thing I do.
Oh, so. And then who caught the license? I was mad I missed that, where she swipes the license but not the wallet.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was Danae.
Oh, yeah. Well, Danae nailed this one, apparently. Those were the three that, like, stood out to me. I always hate to mention my own stuff, so I try to stay away
from
it.
Yeah, for the most part, I feel like, this is a good time to maybe talk about this with us even, but I think for the most part, what we will all tend towards is praising other people's stuff.
And
then admitting our own mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the way we are.
It's a safe way to go.
This was the Shyamalan sin I wrote there, right? Was that this video?
Yeah, no, that was great.
I will praise myself for that. That was a what I was like, I'm glad I'm happy for myself right now that I came up with that.
This isn't a praise of me as much as it is a praise of the movie and how it connects, but the fact that there are two sneakers outtakes from the exact same scene.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so perfect. Like, the sneakers outtake literally mentions Tahiti. Like, it's just, it's fascinating to me. And then the, you know, we're the United States government. We don't do that sort of thing. It's just, it was just too perfect. And they're both
right
there.
Yeah, I love sneakers, but like, that was a movie that I just had not forgotten about, but hadn't watched in a long time. And then, you know, of course, you and Jeremy and Chris just love it. I think Barrett has grown to love it as well.
Yeah, it's a great one.
So we get a lot of stuff from that well.
All right, let's move on to Planes. This was a Dicer Scott joint. Jeremy and I wrote on this one. This, of course, is the non-Pixar movie from the world of Cars. This was actually done by the production company that did Disney's Straight to Video.
And yeah, Disney Tune.
And I think it shows.
Well, it was supposed to be straight to video. It was not supposed to get a theatrical release.
That is true. That is true. It is trash. This movie is so bad. And it was so interesting to watch it with a, like a, you know, like we do with a fine tooth eyebrow. I don't know what you would say. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
No. Fine tooth eyebrow comb.
Yes, exactly. it's just funny to watch it in detail and just go, man, what, like, how do you even think this is okay? Like,
there's so much to sin here.
There's so much stereotyping racially, I should say internationally racially.
I was really surprised by the woman that keeps saying no, and then the guy that keeps coming at her. I was really glad that one made it in to the script.
Yeah, the whole idea is, and again, movies have done this for a long time, but thankfully they're changing. But the idea is, if a woman tells you no, what they really mean is
keep trying,
try harder, and eventually you'll get there. And it's like, that is not usually the case.
Remind me to tell you about my stalker one time.
Oh my goodness.
That's
I'm so sorry.
Story.
I'm so sorry, Danae. Do you want to tell it right now? You can tell it right now if you want.
Oh, it's a beautiful story of a guy who wouldn't take no for an answer and kept leaving me gifts on my car, which, you know, thank you, but stop. And so I kept saying, thank you, but stop. Thank you, but stop. Like, for example, the gifts he would leave: a box of Cheez-Its, because I said I like Cheez-Its once. Things like that. Anyway, there was this one day I think I was 15. And so I was working as a bus girl at this super fancy restaurant on what is it? The holiday where people love each other and get engaged all the
Valentine's
time.
Valentine's Day.
That's the one.
OK,
this is one of the reasons I hate that particular holiday. Anyhow, I was off work. A whole bunch of people had gotten engaged that night. There's love in the air and da 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 da. And I open the door to go out to my car, and he's standing by my car with roses.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
what is wrong with people?
What am I going to do? So I went back inside, and I waited for an hour, and I looked back out there, and he was still there.
Oh, no.
So I walked out. I told my staff what I was. I'm like, guys, just don't let me leave without you seeing that I'm okay. I walked out, and I was like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I want to ask you out, and I think that we would be such a great couple. And I said, oh, okay. He's like, really? And he hands me the flowers. And I said, this is never going to happen. And I chucked the roses on the ground and pushed him. I physically pushed him away from my car and got in the car, locked my doors, and left.
You know, it's interesting you say that. And this is one of the most frustrating parts about culturally how this has been for women, is the fact that now you're the bad guy, right? Now somebody can look at you and go,
how could you crush that poor man's heart?
Right. And it's like, you know, if you don't crush his heart,
he's
this
never going
is
away.
Going to keep happening. And it's like, how do you not, why is it not okay for me to just say no? And then you leave me alone.
Right. Yeah.
It's because of the movie Planes. That's why.
Oh, my God. Yeah, probably.
It really, I think it does play into pop culture and this idea that, you know, if something's not working out for you, you just keep trying a different angle and maybe it'll go that way. And maybe that works for like getting your dream job or something. But not
well, that's
person.
What I was going to say. I mean, this whole don't take no for an answer. I mean, I think that definitely they still preach that with careers. But mm-hmm. even then. I mean, sometimes, like, you've got to realize that this isn't a good career choice for you.
Oh,
you got to move on.
You'll see it. You'll see it in creative careers, too, especially talent careers, like singing, those kind of things. I remember you know, I think rightly so, the talent shows have moved away from highlighting the horrible singers, and you know, they're more highlighting the good stuff now. But there was I really loved the original seasons of American Idol, because you would see these people that were horrible, like they could not carry a tune. But they had been told by everybody in their life, you know, pursue your dreams. If you try hard enough, you can do it. And they just did not believe these professional people who do this professionally saying, yeah, this is not a route for you. Find something you're good at and do that. Yeah. And they just would not believe it. I think you're right. I think there is that element in our life where we do need to take no for an answer, you know, by people we respect, people we trust.
Right.
And understand that. So that, I mean, obviously,
wow, this is an
balance,
interesting
but...
conversation to get out of planes.
Hey, this is the silver lining of this movie. It's, is this conversation right here?
Oh my God. And I had never seen this. My daughter, I mean, my daughter's never even really been to the Cars movies at all anyways, but, she was a little young when this came out, so it didn't get seen because of that. And so it was not something I was interested in. I believe this is the movie Barrett walked out of to play video games and left his wife and son in there watching it. Maybe it was the second one, but and it's I didn't get possible. A chance to watch it because I want to try to watch these if I haven't seen them, but I did not get a chance to watch this. But I felt like watching the video, I saw it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I felt pretty comfortable with it. Also, where is Scrotal Bay located?
It was so good.
Oh, we will go more into that in Keeping Tabs.
Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Was Suck My Cockpit you? Because I thought that was great.
Listen,
as well.
Like I said, my parents listen to this. So that is a very coy way of saying, yes, that was me.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. They got to know. But that is another thing about this movie. I'll just go right into the innuendo in this movie is all over the place too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's why I did that joke is because it makes it a little clearer what the movie's doing. The movie is just doing that on a more cutesy level, but it's still there. It's still there in really innuendo kind of ways. So I found that interesting.
I feel like if you were going to say, hey, have you heard of the channel CinemaSins? I feel like this movie would be a really good in for someone because all of the things that are being sinned are just fun and clever. And it's like a lighthearted movie where we're going to talk about Die Hard with a Vengeance here in a second. That's a different feel. Like Planes this week, you know, you're watching like maybe it's because it's animated. I don't know. But I loved the sins on that one. It really just made a lot of sense. Whereas like Die Hard, you've got a lot of plot stuff going on.
Right.
So it's like harder to kind of keep track of if you're just watching it to just jump into the channel.
Do you have plot, though? Do you?
We'll get to
Are you sure?
I guess.
No, I'm just joking. No, but that's a good thing you bring up. Also, one thing I noted, this video is doing very well.
Yeah, there's a lot of attention
and
on it.
It's just an example of outside of like, I mean, you know the Marvel movies are going to do well. Like, you know people are going to watch the DC movies, but you never really know outside of that. And animated movies tend to be hit or miss with us.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's doing well, but it's just like that's one of those things like you just never know what people are going to want to watch.
And also the personality in this one was really fun, like the narrator's personality coming out and just how he's reacting to things as it's just like these funny plot things that happen or whatever.
Those
one-liners are so good.
That arsenic and old lace line is so great that people don't even have to know what it's from. Just love that moment where he's like, I'm not a cab driver. I'm a coffee pot.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, I know that. But I hadn't seen Arsenic and Old Lace in a while. And then I finally figured it out. No, that was a great one. Also, probably the best use of the cliche sin.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Right. It was so perfect because it was exactly the line from the movie. And then just him saying cliche was just brilliant.
A little bit of behind the scenes on that was a Jeremy line, and Jeremy thought to do it that way, and it's perfect, and I love it so much. And you know, there's an editing process to this where we get it back, and it's one of those things where Jeremy was very specific on his vision of what he wanted, and I think we all get this way when we write something.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it when that happens, and you can edit it in a way that pleases the person who wrote it because it's something a little bit different.
Yeah, I
and
do
so
like
the
that
idea,
too.
The idea of actually adding cliche like as a new word in the subtitles, that was just brilliant. That's just such a brilliant way to envision that.
But it was great, too, because when we do the closed caption it's in yellow, mm-hmm. and then his narration is in white. Mm-hmm. So it was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it done that way before yet, or maybe it's never done that way. I don't know, but it was really smart.
No, I've never seen it done that way. I will also say this. Somebody asked, maybe even in that video, why we only close caption certain scenes. Mm-hmm. And basically that comes down to it's impossible to have the closed captions already in the file in a way that makes sense with what we're doing on the edit, which would mean we would have to listen to every line, type every single line in.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That kind of thing. And yeah. So when something's a little hard to understand, we'll go ahead and do it to make sure people understand what's being said. But if you can already understand it, it's just, you know, the return on investment on typing out all the...
Yeah, we go back and forth about that quite a bit too, because for the person that if you're fine tuning the edit and you've already seen it, like, you know what's being said. Like, Chris will say that a lot. Like, I've seen this. I know what they're saying. I'm not sure people who haven't seen it will.
Right.
So that kind of becomes a, you know, question. But yeah, typically, if it's just something that we feel like somebody's going to miss, or if it relates directly to the sin.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing about this movie is it's not a great way to tell a story either. There's so mm-hmm. much bad storytelling in this movie, too. I think specifically of the moment where he comes in sixth, like one out of the top five to get to go do the race. So he goes back home, and then they bring him the information that, of course, somebody was disqualified and he gets to race. That is a storytelling technique that is used so you get to see how a character handles loss, right? Uh-huh. And they get to grow from that, and then they get the second chance to use what they've grown from. In this movie, it literally happens in the next scene. There isn't, like, it literally is, oh, you didn't make it. Oh, he's disqualified, you're in. It's like, there's no storytelling use to it. It doesn't make any sense.
That's surprising, because one thing I was curious about the runtime, and this is 92 minutes, which, I mean, I guess that doesn't sound that long, but for a movie like this, I would think this would be like 80 minutes max.
Yeah.
So it's like you would think they would actually have time for scenes like that, but maybe apparently, I guess they used them on something else.
Maybe if you cut the plane stocking, you can add there some more. Left.
Also, speaking of tabs, which I won't talk about this in the tab segment because this isn't something I worked on, but this is one of those where I looked up something while watching the video because I thought the Brazilian wax left a strip. So I was confused about that sin. I was like, wait, am I not understanding what a Brazilian wax is? And apparently I did not.
Oh, well, let's talk about that, because I've got some comments to read about that particular sin, and we do that here in a little bit.
All right, we'll get to that then. The only thing I would say about that is admit my own mistake. I forgot that planes have brakes. Okay, let's move on.
There you go. But the propeller thing stands. Why weren't their propellers moving?
Yes,
that still stands.
They should have been moving. all right, let's move on to Get Like Me. Is it Bad Baby?
It's supposed to be Bad Baby.
What a stupid way to spell Bad Baby.
Well, this is the, you guys know this is the Cash Me Outside girl,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just making sure, because I mean, that was a few years ago. I mean, she's been doing this for like 3 years. It's amazing. She's like made lots of money.
I owe her one thing, which is in the very first video I officially wrote for Cinema Sins, The Nut Job, mm-hmm. I was coming up with pun names for the cashew stand, and one of them was Cashew Outside. How about that? And that was one of my my highlights of my early Cinema Sins career. So thank you for that. Other than that,
I have an interesting my connection to her is interesting. Not my connection, but this is the only one I've written. I'm sure Barrett has done this, but. And it had nothing to do with the script itself. It had to do with the context of the video. But Barrett had me write a script for one of her videos. This was pretty early on when I was working on MVS. And he had not watched it. And after he watched it, he just decided that the content was probably a little too dark for us to like be going in and sending. And it was a hard one for me to send. But So that's like the only one I've written a script for that's never actually been made.
Oh, interesting. Fascinating. Yeah. Well, what did we think of this music video? What did we think of
Did I just start watching this channel at the wrong time? Or
what do you mean?
I will say this. She's gotten better. Like, I mean, and that's not good necessarily because this is terrible, but like she's improved somehow.
Well, I think there is a sin in there about her actually having, you know, some rap skills. Like she can flow.
In this one, she sounds like she has some rap skills, whereas in some of the early ones, not so much. I can't remember how many of these we've actually covered. I know we did like her first one. I feel like maybe this is the third, but it could only be the second. I don't know. We haven't done that many, but and I didn't bother to look it up.
No, I watched something something like this and I genuinely go, how do people enjoy this? Like, it's one of those things where it's so on the nose, stereotypical cliche rap, you know, song about how great I am.
And she's so young.
Yeah.
I mean, she's 16. She was 13. I mean, she's been... And I mean, just this, I mean, I don't mean to be that guy, but just the stuff she's saying.
Yeah.
And the context of what she's doing. I don't know who this is for, like you're saying, Aaron, because I can't imagine.
Oh, come
like,
on, you know who this is for. This is for the dudes that want to see half naked girls bounce around.
Well, that's it. I mean, that has to be. I mean, that's the only thing.
Except we live in the internet age. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not. If you are somebody who has an impure interest in watching something,
but it still sells.
Whoever
is helping manage her is like, if you want to have attention, this is how you get it.
Yeah.
And
so
that's
disturbing.
True, but there's also other ways to get attention. And I think one of the jokes or one of the sins that was written was, let's hope that you like transcend a bit. Like, let's get you out into thinking about things that really matter in life and use your talents, you know, in this way. But I think for me watching this, it's like she's being told, okay, we're going to have, you know, a lot of color, a lot of butt, a lot of skin, and a lot of you just being foul and, you know, adorable and cute and sexy. And then you're going to say a whole bunch of foul mouth stuff and it's going to be great.
Is booty twerking, is that the modern pocket watch? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the you know how when people would hypnotize, they'd use a pocket watch in front of you? You know, like, I don't understand the booty twerking thing. Like, is it just supposed to make me go, and just, like, zone out? Like, I'm just...
It's what it does to me. Wow, look at that go.
Yeah, like, what is that? Anything else to say about Bad Baby or Get
I
Like
love
Me?
The, you know, it's kind of similar in the vein of your Duffer Brothers conversation last week. I love the running gag that Barrett's kept going of not pronouncing her name correctly. Like, the narrator always, and I'm pretty sure that's happened in the past stuff we've done with her.
That's great. I can trick myself into thinking that the music industry is going to some good places. And then
I
watch music videos.
I think Aaron, you and I are really similar in that way. Yeah. And I think I could hear that from you too, Jonathan. It's just, you know, I was like, okay,
well, I mean, I
that's
know,
something I watched.
I mean, I know more than most people my age, just because I've written for this channel a lot.
Right.
And then also my daughter, I mean, she doesn't listen to Bad Baby, but like I know, you know, she listens to a lot of like Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj and Cardi B and, you know, just whoever. So Shawn Mendes.
Right.
And so, I mean, I know a lot of it because of that, which, Danae, you'll get to know current pop music.
No. Did you miss the part in previous episodes where my child isn't leaving the house?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. But so she's not listening to the radio. Well, I guess nobody listens to the radio anymore.
No. It's all.
She's
it's
not
all
listening to Spotify.
Specific. No. None of that.
Her child right now is in the phase where she will video call me at random times during the day. Because she wants to ask me about.
Oh, that is great.
She wants to ask me about Wally and Eva because I was the first one
awesome.
To show her Wally.
My daughter, we just hooked up and we just got her an account on an old iPhone of ours that was still working. And my wife works in pediatric orthopedics and prosthetics. My daughter wanted a orthopedic boot just to kind of play around with.
Who doesn't?
And I found out the other day she was texting these pictures of her in the boot to my sisters.
Awesome.
And so they're like, what happened to your daughter? Like, what happened to our niece? You know? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, she was just doing it upstairs, right? You know?
They're like, she's texting pictures of her booty to us and we don't know what's going on.
What kind of a parrot are you?
Let's move on to Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yes.
This is a classic Atkinson Scott joint. Chris and Jeremy going together on this one.
I was so sad I didn't get to work on this.
This is the third Die Hard movie, right?
Correct.
This movie is like a really good 80s action movie that was made in the mid 90s. Like,
yes.
It's so weird.
But I mean, these movies were still being made because, I mean, you had like Speed and The Rock and stuff like that around that same time.
Yeah, no, it is interesting that so little of that stuff holds together at all. And it's fascinating how we have become more discerning, you know, movie watchers. I think maybe personally, but also just as a culture, too.
Well, how are you two on the first Die Hard, if I'm assuming you've seen it?
It's an absolute classic.
I agree. I think it's as close to perfect as you can get for an action movie.
Yeah. And Bruce Willis is so dynamic in it. Like, it's just,
I love Bruce Willis.
Yeah. There you go. Danae, she says that to pretend maybe she saw the movie.
And Alan Rickman's is an awesome villain. Maybe the best villain.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue. I really, really, really love Die Hard 2, and I really like this one. Now, I don't think they hold a candle to Die Hard, and I don't know how good of movies they are from a, you know, if you were to look at it from that standpoint, but I think they're great sequels. Like, if you're going to make sequels to Die Hard, I think both of those do a very good job. I think this is an insanely fun movie.
I'm doing this thing where I'm trying to listen to what happened and follow the plot while also having the plot send at the same time. So I was like, wait, okay, so we're going here. Nope, we're going there. Oh, it's too far. Wait, that's just around the corner. And so, you know, there's all these things.
I feel like
I need to probably
watch
it.
Oh, the New York stuff is great.
I love the New York geography stuff.
Because he lived there.
Yeah, Chris lived in New York for a bit. And so I'm almost sure that's Chris's stuff. And I just love it because I don't need to fact check it or anything. I'm just like, yep, people mess around with New York geography all the time.
Well, that goes for any city. If you ever watch a movie that actually takes place in Nashville, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's like, you wouldn't go that way.
Right.
You know, so I think it's just like anything else. This movie is very confusing, though. All the Die Hard movies are really weird in the sense that essentially they all come from, like, the first two movies were books were bought that had nothing to do with the character of John McClane or anything, and then they just turned them into Die Hard movies. In this one, it was a screenplay that was written for Brandon Lee.
Oh, interesting.
And then actually was rewritten as a Lethal Weapon sequel.
Wow.
And then got used as a Die Hard sequel.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and there were a bunch of drafts. There were a bunch of different scripts written for this movie. One apparently became Speed 2. There was one that took place on a boat, and Willis didn't want to do it because he thought it was too similar to Under Siege, because there were all these Die Hard clones at the time, which they had to fight against. Like, they had to be different than those.
It did seem like it had a possibility of being really interesting. I probably will eventually watch it just because I'm interested enough to. There's some things that I'm like, oh, I kind of want to go and watch that one.
The puzzle stuff is fun for me. Yeah.
It is, but that's another problem with the movie, because they get away from that. Because once they get to the Wall Street stuff, it's nowhere near as interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of falls apart.
I have a feeling the original idea with the Brandon Lee movie was specifically about the puzzle stuff.
I bet
it was called Simon Says.
But at the time when this movie came out, in my mind at least, it seems like that would be a really unique plot point. You know, the more like intelligent bad guy instead of just the dumb bad guy, but one that's sort of this mastermind.
It's kind of got an escape room vibe to it, you know, if you think of it in that way. Yeah, no, that's fascinating.
Figure out this puzzle.
It's loud and fun. Bruce Willis is still at that point where he seems to give a crap about his performances. Him and Samuel Jackson are great together. There is a lot of, racial issues in this movie, which are interesting, because I think that era of filmmaking, there was a lot of back and forth on, you know, where people should go with these. Because you had Spike Lee was out, you know, this was well into Spike Lee's career. There was a lot of, you know, vibrant, you know, types of movies that dealt with race. And so I guess they just felt they had to kind of bring it into this because you had a white guy and a black guy and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't work, and it's just weird.
I think it's like the 90s attempt to talk about race in a funny and interesting way without going into deeper conversations. So
it is fascinating to see the N-word thrown around even inside of a movie, even though, you know, honestly, I understand that word is thrown around, unfortunately, but now it's so much more, our approach to that word is so much more muted and understandably so. And I get that, but it's interesting watching an old movie like that and just there it is on a sign.
You would never have the Harlem scene.
Right.
No.
In a Die Hard movie made today. And I legit love that scene. I think that scene's pretty interesting. And I do agree with the sins though, where there's no way he'd still be alive by the time Samuel L. Jackson got to him.
Right. Yeah.
It kind of plays up in the whole thing, and you could totally see Jeremy Irons' character doing that to him.
Jeremy Irons is so good. His voice.
Oh,
the Sins video mentions it, but his voice is just the best. Another thing I noticed, this is a little bit behind the scenes, since we're that's what we're called here. I noticed that the Ha Police wasn't on this video. This is a moniker that I have taken on myself during the notes process when we're looking at the videos to see if everything matches up. I am the Ha Police. In other words, if Jeremy laughs, I count the Ha's and make sure the text number matches up with the number of Ha's.
Chris coined that, right?
I think it was.
Chris called you the Ha Police?
The Ha Police.
Yeah, he said one time he caught something, and it might have been something Aaron was working on. I don't remember, but he just said, take that Ha Police. I remember.
Yeah, something like that.
It was very funny.
During Sins Week, you need to be wearing a badge that says Ha Police.
That's right. I'll pull it out just in case. I also love the cosmic skip. I love the fun things we're doing with the audio on the skips. I think that's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Our logo, you guys talked about the logo. I know Barrett was bringing up how they're playing around with the logos. Mm-hmm. Because just to make sure that stays fresh and it's not just, you know, like just 30 seconds logos. They do a great job with that in this, I noticed, when they do the adjust for inflation.
The inflation, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was excellent.
My favorite line in the whole thing is one that can easily be missed, and probably why it's my favorite. I love subtle jokes like this. But at one point he goes, check out the big eyesight on Zeus. And it's a direct reference, of course, to the Pulp Fiction. Check out the big brain on Brett, or whichever one he actually says. But that made me smile. I love that kind of stuff where it's like, you know, an obvious reference. It's kind of the coffee pot thing in a different way, right? Like it's a quote from another movie that you may or may not catch, but you get that there's something silly or interesting there.
That's why I'm worried about being fired soon.
Wait, because you don't catch those?
I don't catch them. I don't think about them.
And I was also glad they jumped on all that stuff about the aspirin bottle at the end. That is always, for some reason, that's always been one of those Ex Machinas that has bugged me more than just about any movie, is how he discovers the hideout from the aspirin bottle he just randomly gets from the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing.
That is some lazy screenwriting right there.
Yeah. It has to be.
That is the week that we saw in the Sins video. So let's move on to keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk, wow. Is this how Aaron feels when we're okay? We're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So. Go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're going to pick a couple tabs that we remember having open during researching for Sins. It maybe are funny, embarrassing, WTF, whatever the case may be. What do you think, Jonathan? What do you got?
I only did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last week, so I just had a couple from there. Nothing too exciting, but I did look up, is April ever abbreviated ARP?
That's such a weird typo.
That was such
a good catch. Yeah, because there's so much information on her name tag.
Yeah.
And then somehow somebody didn't catch, they did ARP. So I just looked it up just out of curiosity, because I'm like, well, maybe that's a thing. Like, maybe that's something I'm not aware of. I didn't know what a Brazilian wax was, apparently. So.
You know, we learn new things every day.
It's not a thing. That was definitely, that was an error on their part.
It's one of those things, Danae, you mentioned it's a good catch, but there's something you learn pretty quickly when you're writing Sins is to pause when there's lots of information going on. Mm-hmm. Because especially if it's quick, they will miss stuff. And so it's just kind of one of those things. And when they flash that up there, I knew immediately I needed to just freeze.
And I think that was even on the, like, I mean, not that there's like a list of rules or anything, but I remember Chris mentioning that at some point. I don't know if it was in an email or what, but I remember early on in the process, he was like, you know, look at words on screen, like look at any like documents and newspapers. And
I definitely paused on that screen because I thought that the QR code didn't change, but it's just because of the split second that I paused it and then it changed over and I was looking over it. I just missed it. So that's why I said good catch, because I had my eyeballs on it, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Danae?
The only thing that I kept track of that I looked at during this one was if patting somebody on the butt is considered sexual assault or sexual harassment. And is the difference between the two and
is there a moment? Yeah, there's a moment in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the video. Yeah, that was great. What's
it, the guy, it's the agent.
It's Fitz or whatever his name is. He pats Ward on the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a dude butt pat, which apparently is bro behavior.
And it is often, in sports. I don't understand it. But yeah, if you watch like baseball, football, and I mean, yeah. That happens constantly.
Yeah, it's like a good game.
And coaches do it like. And I mean, that is a good point to bring up. Like you could probably have a case right there. If like your boss is just hitting you on the ass.
If it was a sports show, I don't think I would have thought about it too much because it is so much a part of that culture. But this was an agent and a science guy. So it's like, why are you touching his butt? Maybe that's why they never get together. He's actually gay and that's okay.
Yeah, I played basketball quite a bit. And it was something that guys did. I never did.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I played baseball. Yeah, I don't think I've ever touched a dude's
butt. I'd be afraid that I would get the pat wrong. Like, I'd linger too long. Like, yeah. I just wouldn't do it right.
Well, you don't grip. There's no grip
there's
to
no
it.
There's no fingers.
I'm just more of a, like, a pound it or, you know, high five, pat you on the back.
Yeah,
that was
I was
just
much
more
likely
that was
to
more my
I'd much more likely hug. I'd give a hug.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, before I'd go for the butt tap. You just do a hug and you grab the butt from, you know, behind.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Okay, just making sure.
This is why you don't have any friends. I'm kidding. That was a bad joke.
I didn't pull any up for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I knew that was one you guys would have to work off of. And since I did Planes, I pulled all mine from Planes. Yes, I did do a search for if there were islands that were actually shaped like people, because if you're going to make the crack about the, you know, the Cars universe, I mean, the mountains look like cars, the clouds look like planes, like it's, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. So I did a little bit of research on that.
It is an animated
Everything
movie.
About the Cars universe doesn't make sense. I think you even talked about that on CivPop when Cars 3 came out. I think I remember you and Andrew having a conversation about, like, you just can't think about it.
No, you can't. It all
you just
got to
go with it
very quickly.
They have baby cars. It is what it is.
The amount of, like, this bothers you so much. It's super entertaining to see.
Oh, it's hilarious to sin. And, and in that Planes video, there are several moments where it's like, why do they have emergency exits on the planes? What kind of nightmare world is this? What is inside them? Like, there are windows.
Well, it's like, I've always just assumed, like, they killed all the people.
Right.
Like, I just always assumed this was, like, way in the future. Like, people have just been eradicated.
Must be. There is that line in Planes where they say, you know, something about something being built in, you know, such time. It's like, you're built? This is new information. Who builds you? Like, this is, anyways, this world. But no, there aren't really islands shaped like full human beings. Although, as the comments were very glad to point out to me, Florida is America's penis.
That's true.
So that was very kind of them to point that out.
I was always taught it was a peg leg.
Good, it's probably
from the PG universe.
Yeah. Better to go that route. Then I also had a tab open that basically I just Googled what are the seven continents. I know I should know that. I just wanted to make sure. And that was for the sin where they, for whatever reason, didn't list Europe on the map.
What did you call it? The globe's
Antarctica?
Yeah.
I always call it America's ice hole.
Yeah. That was good.
And then I also Googled.
Sorry, I'm such a child.
No, listen, if you have a globe, next time you're holding a globe,
funny.
turn it over and look at Antarctica. You'll never have the same perspective again.
Oh, I need more sleep.
And then I also Googled movies with orgies because I was going to wanted to come up with a pun for at the end where it looks like all the cars are convulsing in pleasure. Instead of what it's supposed to look like is a celebration.
Well, so, how do they clap? Open their doors and slam them, I guess.
Right, exactly.
So
what was the number one movie that do you remember?
Yeah, it was Eyes Wide Shut.
That makes sense.
Number one. So originally, Danae is laughing so hard right now. What has got you tickled?
I'm just thinking about your mom listening to the podcast.
I don't even know if my mom knows like what a podcast is, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Go on, Aaron.
No, let me talk about orgies some more. So I had the debate, and I eventually left it up to Jeremy if we were going to go with Trunks Wide Shut or if we were going to go with Flies Wide Shut.
Nice.
But we went with Trunks. We thought that was simpler. So
I like that, actually. That plays better.
All right, so there you go.
Let's move on, shall we?
Let's go to the comments section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pick a comment or two to respond to from the week's videos. We can include general feedback here as well if you want to send us an email or hit us up on Twitter. You can do that. I'll go first this time since I went last time. This comes from Immortal Trickster 172. And then this is from the Planes video. Writer, hey, remember how Cars did great? Director, yeah. Writer, so what if we did Cars? Director, writer, but with planes. Director, sounds perfect. Writer, but everything is exactly the same. Director, get Dane Cook on the phone. I just thought that was so perfect. What do you got, Danae?
I will also stick with planes because there was quite a few really good ones on there. This was from TigerCon5. One of these days, I'm expecting him to open a video like, this exists plus 100 sins. And then Rudy Smith responds, when you realize that this movie exists was the very first sin he ever counted back in Everything Wrong with the Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved this thread chain in general because sometimes whenever you get in the comments and then there's all these different comments on someone, I love the community that kind of bubbles up. And this one was fun because obviously there's some super fans that know this kind of.
Well, this movie exists. Is a very special sin to the CinemaSins universe, and it is held closely and only used in very specific situations.
Whoa.
You have to get permission from everybody to use a This Movie Exists sin. I think it's only happened like 3 or 4 times.
Barrett did it on one we worked on not that long ago. I cannot remember for the life of me what it was, though. And I remember he put like in a parentheses, like, yeah, I'm doing this.
we're pulling out the big guns.
Barrett's scripts are always very fun to read because he always puts stuff in parentheses.
It's, you know what's fun? You mentioned that. What's fun is it's interesting to see the different ways people stretch the format. And everybody kind of has their different way to do that. And that's kind of been a fun process of learning what, you know, kind of how it works and what goes on.
Yeah.
What do you got, Jonathan?
Well, one thing we kind of already touched on, but there was a number of comments about people that really like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And yeah. I just had no idea. So I copied a couple of those, but we kind of already discussed that. But yeah, there was a lot of that, which was really interesting. And nobody was like saying, you know, anything bad or negative about the video. They were just, you know, kind of the opinion, like, you should definitely give this show a chance because it gets way better.
I mean, there is obviously a reason it's in its seventh season. Like,
that's interesting, too. I've read some places where Disney basically told ABC this past year, like, you're renewing this. Like, I get the impression that maybe ABC was going to cancel it. And Disney was like, no.
Interesting. Yeah.
Can you imagine having that kind of power?
Well, Disney is the parent, ABC is the child. So
I don't know how much truth is in that. I've read that in a few different reports.
But, like we've said before, already, you know, just a couple episodes in, we're not all about fact checking here. So
no, definitely not. And I mean, and network television is so different than it used to be because the ratings, the way they judge the ratings, they have to be different now. It has more to do with how close are we to getting this in a syndication package, and is the network making money off different things? You know, I mean, it has a lot more to do with that than actual viewers.
But, I'm not going to lie. I cannot imagine the intricacies of the political system of these big corporations. I can't
I know.
I just, it would be so frustrating because there's got to be, you know, 20 levels of executives.
No, on every level, there's just these happy pictures of cartoons to make you feel happy. So you don't pay attention to the dark underbelly. You're like, oh, look, it's Mickey Mouse. It's so special. I hate my job.
But the other thing I noted on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, was Banshee Queen 6 backed me up on my comment about Chloe Bennett's wardrobe. Which, and I do know that's probably, I mean, you can, I almost didn't even leave that in when I sent the script over because I was thinking maybe that's a little too trivial. But for some reason, it just really bugged me with her because she's supposed to be homeless and living in a van and she has like the nicest clothes. I mean, they are, they have to be expensive.
I had forgotten how much they sexed her up in the pilot too. Like used her
sex
appeal.
Oh, yeah, Danae and I both were. Well, Danae had that idea to cut to her taking her jacket off or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good call because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it definitely, that's what it looked like. It's like they're just trying to make sure that the sex appeal is there.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Well, and he already, and they already had, I mean, the whole thing was she was questioning Ward, but he was already doped up with a truth serum. He didn't need, like, he didn't need the cleavage in his face.
Didn't he, though?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Right?
Who doesn't want a little bit of cleavage in their face?
Yeah. Aaron, what's one that you had?
Josiah, and I will not be able to pronounce this last name, I guess last name, Balhad, I think. Anyways. Speak happiness into every lemon drop made me spit my coffee out my nose. Yeah, and now great. Everything smells like coffee. Thank you.
I thought about that for a very long time, trying to figure out what else could it stand for. And I even opened it up to you guys. Like, can we come up with something more clever than what I wrote?
And I think we were all like, nope, that's great.
Well, and that's a great bit in the episode, too. And like I don't know how much Joss Whedon really had to do with that show other than his name was attached to it. But that really felt like that was something he probably wrote.
I think he had quite a bit to do with it. It is full of so many Whedon-esque, you know, winks and nods and even characters from other Whedon shows. And so, yeah, I think
because, I mean, that felt like a conversation you would have seen like on Buffy or Firefly or Angel or any of those.
I just realized I kind of want to have a Speak Happiness into every lemon drop, like t-shirt? Bumper sticker or a T-shirt or something. I don't know why I say bumper sticker because I refuse to put bumper stickers on my car, but I still like stickers.
Uh-huh.
I need it somewhere, though.
You know you're locked in to the Cinema Sins world when you have your first moment of, I want my sin on a T-shirt.
This has
well,
to
and
exist.
If we do another, like, you know, maybe we can talk them into that. If we do, like, another, like, special shirt month, like the Mental Health, you know, Awareness Month or something.
There you go. Speak happiness.
Maybe that could be
a good positive
secret shirt.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it a lot.
One of the comments I came across, I'm going to go to planes again.
Sure.
If that's cool with you. Legacy Gamer said, I wonder if the Brazilian plane flies its routes without a landing strip. And then the comment to that was from Diego, who says, oh, I get it now. The Brazilian depilation joke. I was like, WTF, we have landing strip? What do you mean? Oh, okay.
He called it depilation.
I know.
That's great.
And so then I had to look up the words, and I'm like, you guys, with your incredible language, it's amazing.
It literally means hair removal,
it
right?
It means hair removal. Also known as epilation or depilation, is the removal of body hair.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, Diego, and a fun comment thread there on your joke, Aaron.
Yeah. Listen, what can I say? You know, sometimes the joke is just right there. It's like the sculptor, you know, who says, you know, you don't sculpt the thing that you're making. You sculpt away the parts that aren't the thing that you're making. It's just like it's always there. You just had to find it, you know?
Your pervy self can exist happily in children's shows.
Yes, exactly.
Just there waiting for you.
Jonathan, did you have any more?
Not really. The only other thing I noted was Sam. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this last name. I'll butcher it. I'm not even going to try. But he just mentioned on Die Hard with a Vengeance that it was still the second best Die Hard movie. And I just want to point out that that's not true. And
you are wrong.
You people are not giving Die Hard 2 enough of a chance. Die Hard 2 is amazing.
I'll have to go back and watch it because I remember thinking 3 is better than 2.
Oh,
it's definitely what I remember thinking.
I have
thinking,
to go back and watch them all.
Yeah.
It's time, apparently.
I actually, Die Hard 2 has become my, I don't know if it's really my Christmas movie or anything like that. I mean, but I don't know why the first year I was putting my daughter's toys together, I put it in as just something on in the background.
For while you're making toys?
I've done that. That's kind of become like a tradition for me, a weird tradition. And I don't think they are Christmas movies.
Are you also drinking?
No.
You don't have to answer that seriously.
No.
Do you have any more, Aaron?
I can't put stuff together sober, so drinking would be a bad idea.
I have 3 more comments. How do you not have any more comments?
Well, lay them on. I just picked a couple. I was,
okay.
You know.
Yeah. Well, the comment stuff I love.
Well, great.
I love people's.
Then you can be our go-to comment person.
That's me.
Yeah, for sure.
So on S.H.I.E.L.D., Elizabeth White says, is she a show car? Made me laugh so hard I missed the next 2 lines. I feel sorry for the young whippersnappers that don't get why it's hilarious.
which was great delivery by Jeremy.
Great job, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones that I mentioned were on Die Hard, so we'll finish with that. On Die Hard, Twisted Clover says, "Oh my God, you finally did it. I've been waiting for you to send my favorite Die Hard movie since you did the great first one. Thank you." Which I love because this is clearly somebody who's okay with us sending what they love.
Yeah.
You get it, Twisted Clover.
This is the thing to remember, because YouTube comments get a very deserved reputation for having a lot of trolly, mean-spirited comments in them. Those comments certainly happen during our videos, but when I look at our comments, it is the majority of them are people who are
having
like
a good time.
Even if they love the movie,
They're
like, "I'm so glad you did this. This is so fun."
And then this one's, I'm going to end on this one because I found this to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is also Die Hard. This comes from S. Gray 0013. "Because it drove me insane not knowing how they did the jug riddle when I first saw the movie."
Mm.
And then there's four steps to get this riddle. So just
in case. Oh, yeah. No, it's a very popular riddle. It's a classic.
"You fill the 5-gallon jug to the top, and then you pour it into the 3-gallon jug until it's full. That leaves 2 gallons in the 5-gallon jug. And then you empty the 3-gallon jug, and you pour out exactly 2 gallons. Now it has exactly 1 gallon of empty space. Then you fill the 5-gallon jug all the way up, pour it into the 3-gallon until it's full. 5 gallons minus 1 gallon is exactly 4 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't see this movie, so I have no idea what this is talking about. But this reminds me of those things where it's like, okay, so you've got 5 people on one side of the water, and then you want to get to the other,
yes,
and you've got one canoe.
It's the fox, the cabbage, and the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're the classic riddles.
As my wife will tell you, though, I'm not a math person.
Me either.
And, I've seen that scene so many times. I still, even with you explaining it, I'm sure that's right, but it doesn't make sense to me.
So I'm with
that,
you.
That bomb would go off if I was there.
I've read this 4 times now, and I still get very confused about why you would empty a 3-gallon jug and pour exactly 2 gallons into. Like, I don't get it. Why would you do that?
Well, because you need the rest of it to only take 1 gallon, so that you've got 4 left in the 5-gallon.
Oh.
So you need the 3-gallon to have 2 gallons,
okay,
so that when you pour it to the brim, you've used 1 gallon. So you'll know you've used 1 gallon from the 5 gallons, and there's 4 gallons.
Dang,
in there.
It happened again. I just stopped listening. I space out. But I wanted to highlight
Listen,
your intellect.
If you ever have to defuse a bomb using a
puzzle. What are we talking about?
Fine. Call me. That's fine. I love puzzles.
Call the math people.
I would love to do that for you. Very nice. We love your comments so much. You can hit us up at behindthesinspod@gmail.com. Or you
Please
can hit us
do.
On Twitter as well. If you want to ask us questions directly, you can do that too. Let's move beyond the sins.
To infinity. And beyond!
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're going to chat about something else in the pop culture world that we've seen recently. Can be good, can be bad, can be medium, whatever you choose. Danae, you kick us off this time.
So because I don't like watching things that, I always just go to apps, and technically I watch them. So is that, can I talk about
pop culture.
App games?
Sure. Apps are pop culture.
I just started getting hooked on one called AFK Arena.
Okay.
AFK, away from keyboard.
I've seen the ad for that game so many times.
Yeah, it's everywhere right now.
Yeah.
So that's why I got it. It was an ad. I was like, all right, I'm going to try this.
So advertising works.
So this is one of those games where you have like a little charging party and you get to like equip them with gear and upgrade their gear. And then while you're gone from the game, they're still collecting gold and stuff.
Right.
But there's also daily quests, weekly quests, stuff like that. So if you're driven by quests that you want to do every day that you can just log on and do quickly and then upgrade your stuff, it's kind of fun. It's really pretty and it's easy to navigate because they kind of walk you through where to go for the different things. They add stuff slowly. So you don't get to do all of the features all at once. I'm playing another one right now that is all of the features all at once. It's really confusing and infuriating. So I won't talk about that one. But AFK is not too bad.
You know, games more and more are using the whole, we'll play the game for you while you're not, you know, on it kind of thing. And I'm just like, when do we get to the game where you just, you know, you open it and then you never look at it again? You just look at it 3 months later and you've won the game.
I do.
I can't do app games. I know myself too well. Like, I will never do anything else if I have a game in front of me. So I just don't do it.
My husband has banned me from introducing him to new games because the ones that I find are very addictive and they have that psychological thing where you need to go every day and do something so that you can use the most of your time.
I've literally, for health reasons, had to uninstall certain games that yeah. that I have found that just like tweak that thing in me that efficiency thing in me that I have to like
push the buttons.
Like I have to do it the best it can be done and I have to get the most coins. And,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This is sort of like that, but it's not as bad. I don't know that I would recommend it for you, Aaron.
What's
but
perfect for me is a game where you aim a ball at bricks and you break the bricks. And then when I'm done breaking bricks, I can go do other stuff.
Anyway, it's really, really pretty and well done. And I don't find it terribly annoying yet. If you're an app gamer like me, you might enjoy it. It's called AFK Arena. And I don't have any special code to tell you where you can, like, you know, join my team or whatever. I guess I could tell you I'm in a clan if you want to find me.
You need to find games. You need to find games that you get like promotional credit for or something. I mean, if you're going to be talking about them, you might as well benefit.
Three people who love app gaming like I do.
I think it's more than three people.
I'm quickly becoming like the D&D app game girl, which I'm actually really enjoying. By the way, shout out to my fellow D&D people that listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
thank you for finding me.
Yeah.
Some really cool podcasts have been suggested to me. And I have started listening. So thanks.
What do you got, Jonathan?
I was kind of torn because I don't know how not to talk about Midsummer. But I also kind of don't want to talk about Midsummer because I definitely want, if you're going to go see this, you just need to go see it, like not know anything that's going to happen.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm curious if you liked it, didn't like it, like, you know, how did it hit you?
Yeah. I think I loved it.
Yeah. It is one of those movies.
Yeah. Hereditary was a movie that the first time I saw it, I was into some of it, and I really liked the performances, specifically Toni Collette.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that there were some interesting areas of like grief and loss and things of that nature that Aster,
saying Ari, but I don't know.
Let's go with Ari. So Ari Aster, the director that he went into, that I found very fascinating and I thought was very, felt very real, felt very different than what most films that tackle that kind of subject matter. But then the horror elements of Hereditary didn't really work for me. But Midsummer, I think, just all the way through, like, I love the ending of Midsummer. Well, I don't know if you can say love, but I thought the ending was very effective. There is a shot of Florence Pugh right towards the end of the movie that is pretty exceptional.
Yeah, it's
I don't know how else to put it.
It's exceptional work. I talked a lot about I keep saying Midsommar because that's how I keep hearing it.
Yeah, they say Midsummer in the movie.
Yes,
like
they
the
do.
The Swedish guy says Midsummer, so that's where I was calling it Midsommar too.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I am the only nice thing you will ever hear me say about Hereditary is Toni Collette's performance is astounding.
Yeah, I know you weren't a fan of it.
I did not like that movie at all. I did not lock into it metaphorically. I think story-wise, it didn't make much sense to me, especially the end. I get what I think it's trying to say on a literal storytelling level, and it just didn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
Midsommar is different in almost every way for me. And it's fascinating because it's an even more grotesque movie than, you know, Hereditary was. But in many ways, it's not as much of a horror film as Hereditary was. It's so bright and colorful and it's all in the sun and it's all, you know, it's daytime horror, right?
Yeah. And I actually, that is one thing that I really dig. I really like when a movie is able to do that, when it's able to do like horror in the daytime, because that's very hard to do.
I think it was really good at that too. The new version of it did that very well. And there is something about that that is bolder and much more interesting to me because you really have to believe what you're doing. You don't get to hide it in the shadows, in the corners and, you know, that kind of thing. So I was really impressed with it. I think anytime I ever mention this movie, I will always mention Ari Aster loves to paint with the most graphic paintbrushes in the toolbox, you know, like he does.
Yeah. I will say this about this movie. This kind of reminded me, this is a weird comparison. And like I said, I don't want to give anything away about this. So it's nothing like this movie story wise or anything like that. But The Exorcist is an interesting movie in that I love The Exorcist. I think The Exorcist is one of the best movies, horror movies, whatever you want to say. And it just, and it's probably the most terrifying movie for me. But what most people, and I hear a lot of people that watch it now and say, I don't get why people find it that scary, because I think what most people assume is that what I'm finding scary or what people that love it find scary is the gross out stuff. But what's interesting with something like The Exorcist is the gross out stuff, like the pea soup and the crucifix and all that kind of stuff, the head spinning, that almost is a relief from the tension that is built leading up to that point.
Right.
And you get a lot of that in this movie. There's a scene where all I'll say is it starts with a very, very strange lunch and ends on a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something's going to happen. And I mean, I was uncomfortable because I'm just like, what? Because, you know, like, what is going to happen here? And then when what does happen finally happens, it's disturbing, but in a weird way, it's also kind of relieving because it's over.
Well, and what the movie is indicating in that scene and in several mm-hmm. others with the metaphor on trauma and the metaphor mm-hmm. on relationships and those kind of things is, I don't know, it's very, I haven't felt this attached to a movie's metaphor since Mother.
No, that's a good comparison too. I agree.
And Mother is another movie where people would watch and mm-hmm. go, why is it so graphic, and you know,
yeah,
I mean, it's, and I'm just like, well, because there's a metaphorical nature to what's going on here, that at least the director feels like is going to be have the most impact, if it's felt in this way. I don't mm-hmm. know that I can recommend necessarily either of those movies to everybody. I certainly know, Danae, you should never see either one of those movies.
Yeah, but Florence Pugh, I don't think she's as good as Toni Collette necessarily, but I love her character. Like you said, I think I got very attached to her character, and I don't know if it's just that I've had a familial loss in my life or what. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that has some effect on it, but her character felt very real to me. The stuff that she was dealing with,
yeah,
and I also thought the relationship with her and her boyfriend was sadly very well depicted.
I totally agree.
And it's a very common type of relationship that unfortunately exists.
Yeah, and I think the story in it holds together very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
So yeah, but Danae, it's not for you.
Don't go see this today.
Just to let
you
know.
Stop listening. What are we doing? I just took a little cat nap.
All right, my Beyond the Sins is the new season of Legion is going on, and I don't know that I've ever had this big of a turnaround on a show. I'm sure there is. But I was so confused during the first season of Legion, and I didn't think the show did a good job at really helping you understand these characters. This, of course, comes from the X-Men universe. Mm-hmm. It's on FX, and it's, I mean, incredible performances I liked in the first season, but I was having trouble understanding what was going on because it's so weird. It is such a weird show. And then through season two, it locked in for me, and now with season three, man, the season premiere for season three, maybe one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. It was just...
Oh, wow.
It was astonishing.
I've got to go back to this. I watched like the first three episodes of the first season and then just for whatever reason never got back into it. I didn't dislike it. I don't know what... It might have been like what you're saying. I just couldn't figure out what was going on and just didn't care.
Aubrey Plaza is just so great in this show. Gene Smart's great in this show. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, the artistic stuff that's going on in the show is beyond anything on television. Like the way it's using visuals mm-hmm. is just mind-bending and beautiful. And the thought experiments that it's doing, I just find absolutely fascinating. It was funny because I watched the first episode of this season. And then the title card at the end came up for directed by. And it was directed by Andrew Stanton. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Well, now it makes sense because he's a genius.
Yeah.
So it's got a little Pixar connection.
Was this canceled? Was this, I mean, because this is the last season, right? Did they decide that before? Was it right around the merger? Because I wonder if this is a Disney decision, because I assume they're going to be doing whatever they want to do with the X-Men.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that Stanton is kind of directing, like Stanton directed a lot of the Stranger Things episodes last mm-hmm. season too. So he's doing some fun stuff. But yeah, it's definitely interesting and one that I'm glad I've turned around on, because I wasn't, especially that first season, I was just not sure I could put up with the confusion anymore.
Cool. I got to get back to it then.
Well, there you go. Thanks for coming behind the, I almost said scenes.
Well, it kind of works. It's sort of a play on words. I don't
know
what
I didn't even
that.
Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about it now, does it make sense? Because that's
we could do a new category called deleted sins, and it'd be deleted scenes.
I thought we were just talking. I thought it was just a reference to butts. I thought that was the title. So sorry. I didn't know what a Brazilian wax was.
It's okay.
I think we've made that clear. That's going to do it for Behind the Sins for this week. Don't forget to make sure you are subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen, and go ahead and leave a comment and throw some stars at us as well. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. Danae is at Danae Says, and Jonathan is at Sam Loomis 13 on Twitter. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to behindthesinspod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
1, 2, 1, 2, check, check. Sibilance.
Ha, ha, ha.
Maybe the first time I've ever called you John. Is that something that ever happens, or do people always go with the full three syllables?
Most of the time, strangers, like when I just introduce myself as Jonathan, they'll repeat it back as John, and I'll be like, that's not what I just fucking said.
Yeah. Why would you assume that when someone says, my name is Jennifer, that you can be like, oh, cool, nice to meet you, Jen. Like, what? Why would you do that?
And John is like its own name. Like, people are called John.
And how did Richard become Dick? I don't understand that one. At the core of it, it's somebody assuming they know better than you.
Yeah, well, I introduce myself as Aaron, and people just be like, hey, Ike.
No, they don't.
What? Ike? How is Ike Aaron?
What am I missing?
I'm just kidding. No, it's...
Did you just make that up 100?
Yeah, or, just 100 okay. Made that up.
So my maiden name is 10 letters long in German.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever got it right. Never pronounced correctly. Ever, ever, ever. So I was very excited to marry someone with the last name that was simple. And so Hughes is very simple. And the first time I got a call from like a solicitor, asked for Deanie Hughes. And I was so mad because I was like, how do you mess up Hughes?
My stepfather's last name is Venable. A lot of people say Venable, but I was home one time and some solicitor called and asked if Mr. or Mrs. Venable was there. So that has stuck.
Oh,
that
man.
That is hilarious.
That's absolutely like, Terrible.
Terrible. Wah, wah,
wah, wah. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Is the accent... Is that on like every spelling of Danae, or is that specific to yours? Or
my mom was told to name me Danae by a friend. Someone said, name her Danae. And they're like, oh, that's great. But she's not French. She didn't know where to put the Asante goo. So she stuck it on the last E. So
is it supposed to be on the second to the last E?
Yeah, technically it's supposed to be the second to last E, but that's fine.
So.
If we do deleted sins, I would do one like on S.H.I.E.L.D. where the entire back wall was reversed and we cut it because we couldn't tell if maybe it was because of a mirror. But I went back and watched it like 3 times. I'm like, it's not a mirror. I'm pretty sure. I'm almost 100%.